from that first chapter of the book of Joshua, let us reread the text right now. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all the people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. This morning, God will not forsake us. Lessons are taught in life each and every day. Unfortunately, some of us miss the point of many of these lessons. Most responsible parents are great lesson teachers for their children. But there are some parents who cannot teach their children because they were never taught, or either they missed the lesson that they was taught or that was tried to be taught to them. In today's text of old, we find a great lesson, a lesson for us today, if you will. A lesson that teaches us many things, and I understand that I won't have the time to bring all of these lessons to the front and center. So we'll focus on several that can be of great help for us as Christians. There are many great stories in the Bible about great men and of great men, as well as women. There are those who position themselves to serving and doing the will of God. Joshua did something that many Christians in and out of the church can't seem to do today, and that is fully commit themselves to the Lord. Notice, if you will, in today's text, what kind of man Joshua was. For he can teach us today from the days of old. Number one, we are never too old to be useful to God. It was in the book of Deuteronomy where the Lord informed Moses that he must die. In chapter 31, in verse number 14, God told Moses, he said, the days approach when you must die. You know, we as children of God, no matter how great we are, no matter how good we are, there'll be a point where we will have to give up this life. God told Moses, he said, bring me Joshua, that God may inaugurate him. Now, what I want you to know about this, just as it was with Moses, so it was also with Joshua. These were men of 80 plus years of age at this time in their lives. And I know what some may say today, 80 years old, well, he was about 15 years past the normal retirement age. Isn't that right, church? But still, God knows that he can use us no matter what age we are at. The saga lets us to know that God can use us no matter how old we may be getting, no matter how many years have passed us by. And I think about it, and I can hear some of us now saying, Lord, if you call me, I would accept the challenge, O Lord, but I'm too old. I would accept the challenge, O Lord, but I'm a little bit too tired. I'm too slow. I can't walk fast. And you want me to walk all those people through the wilderness. I can't walk that fast and that much no more, Lord. My mind is not as sharp as it used to be, Lord. I know what some of us would say. We would find any and all excuses to simply say, Lord, I can't do it because I got to concentrate on myself. But that's not what Joshua said. Joshua didn't use any of those excuses. He just stepped up to the plate to serve God as he was asked to do. Then I like the promise that the Lord gave Joshua in verse number 5. Note verse number 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Oh, I like how the Lord puts that. He wouldn't forsake Joshua, and he won't forsake us today as well. Now, I tell you something about the kind of man Joshua was. In Deuteronomy chapter 34, in the verses number 9, the Bible says he was full of the spirit of wisdom. And I'll tell you, church, wisdom is a much better thing to be full of than what some Christians are full of today. And I'm just saying, I'm not trying to accuse anybody. But wisdom is a good thing. Wisdom is much better than thinking you know something and not knowing it. With wisdom, you know things in your life. Wisdom. So the Bible says that Joshua was full of the spirit of wisdom. You know, to be full of the spirit of wisdom means you are up on things of God. You know something about God. And there are those who say, well, I'm a good Christian, but I don't know where you find that at in the Bible. Well, then that's okay if you agree to say, well, but I'll look it up and see if I can find it. But if you don't know where it's at in the Bible and you never try to find where it's at in the Bible, that's not full of the spirit of wisdom. Then when you think about it, when you think about someone becoming a member of, when you talk to someone about becoming a member of the church and they tell you they are too old, well, just remind them about Joshua and Moses. Tell them that when God calls for someone to stand up, he will make sure that they can get up. We tend to think that because I can't do it by myself, that God can't do it either. I tell you all the time, because you can't, doesn't mean that God won't. Because you can't doesn't mean that God is unable to. It simply means you need to get up and go and do what the Bible tells us to do. So he said, I will be with thee. I will not fail nor forsake thee. Too many of us are willing to accept any call except that of the Bible. God's call is never too early, nor is it too late. It's always right on time. The lesson for us today is simple. In Acts chapter 21 and about verse number 13, the Bible says Paul was ready not only to be bound, but also to die for the name of Jesus. Now, I'm not going to ask you if you're that willing to step up for Christ, because I'd be afraid of some of the answers I may get. But when you think about it, church, when you are ready to step up for Christ, that means you'll accept His call and you won't find any excuses. They asked me over at the church to come over and clean up the building because the janitor is sick. But I got too much to do. I can't go over there and clean up the building. They asked me to come pass out literature from house to house. I can't do that because I got too much to do on my Saturdays. You know, that Saturday doesn't belong to you. Guess who that Saturday belongs to? That Saturday belongs to God. But when you think about it, church, there's so much in the arena of life that we sometimes take for granted that God is going to allow me to stay here and do everything I want to do before He calls me home. Just might not be so. Just might not be so. So Joshua was a man filled of the spirit of wisdom. And so that's the kind of man he was. And yet he was an older man. And you know, to a 20 or a 30-year-old, 45 is an old man. But when you think about it, you're not so old that God can't use you even if you turn 80. There are many that have turned to that point already in their lives, and they're still working for God. Isn't that right, church? So Joshua is full of the spirit of wisdom. And Joshua can also teach us that we must continue to have faith in God. There are others who serve God in older age as well as Joshua. But Joshua should inspire all of us, especially of those of us who are getting on up in age. Because not only does God still care about us, but because also God won't give up like some of us will give up. God can give to us like no one can give to us like God can. I want you to watch in verse number 3 of the text. Look at verse number 3 of Joshua chapter 1 there. In verse number 3 of the text, God says, everywhere your foot shall touch, that have I given unto you. Now I remember people, especially my older folk back down in the South. They were always out to buy land. They wanted to have this much land or these many acres or this many acres or that many acres. But God told Joshua there in verse number 3, He said, anywhere that you step, that's yours. Tell me you can't be God-given. Tell me that God won't take care of us. And when you think about it, God is good, church, and some may not understand how well God, how good God really is. Some haven't given me the thought that they think that God is good. There are those who say, well, God hasn't given me that much. Well, maybe you haven't given Him anything. Maybe you haven't given Him what He asked of you to give Him. Who or what do you think got you up this morning if God is not a giving God? I beg to differ with those who say God hasn't given them anything. I beg to differ with those who say God hasn't given me that much. If He has given you life, He has given you something, hasn't He, church? You know, I'm so glad this morning. I'm so glad that life is not for sale. And I know what some may say, well, if you get sick, you go to the hospital and there's a doctor there who said if you have enough insurance, I can give you this experimental treatment. Well, don't experiment with our lives. Just go to God and ask God to grant you some more time. So why do we not put up our faith so that God can see it? Why do we not let God know that we love Him as much as He loved us? Because the food that we eat, that's God. The land that sustains us, that's God. The air that we breathe, that's God. The money you have in your pocket or that you don't have in your pocket, that's God. The car you drive, that's God. I know what many of us think. We are all tied up now about what's going on in the automotive industry. We're saying, well, bailout. Well, God has given us a bailout long time ago. He bailed us out with His Son's life. He bailed us out with His Son's death on the cross. And there are those of us today who still don't understand that God is good to us, even though He's not walking the earth and hanging on the cross anymore. The cross is still alive and well when you think about it, church. Your problems are not too big for God to handle. The faith that we put in God will get us much further than placing our faith in man. So I like it when God told Joshua in verse number 5, shall not be any man able to stand before thee. No man will be able to take you on, Joshua, because I am with you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake thee. And I know we have to be careful in this world in which we live. I understand that it's a dangerous world, and I know that what we say sometimes, I'm not going out after dark, and I'm not going over in that area, I'm not going over in that area. But you know, if you have to get over in that area, and if it happens to be after dark, you pray and ask God to go with you, and you go on and do what you got to do. So then, Satan comes into our lives. Satan comes into the lives of men, if we're not careful, he will steal. Notice the text, notice the word there. He will steal our faith from us. But we must hold out for God's promise that He gave Joshua in Joshua 24 and verse number 15. You know what that Bible says, you Bible scholars, in 24 and 15. And if it seems evil for you to serve the Lord, choose you this day with whom you will serve. The gods of your father served on the other side of the flood, or the god of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and for my house, I will serve the Lord. Who are you going to serve this morning? Who will your house serve? And there are those of us, we can't count on our house serving anybody because we don't serve anyone. Some of us as men folk, we can't get our young folk to come to church. Some of us can't even get our spouses to come to church. Some of us can't get our spouses to come to church because we are not running the house. And I'm not talking about anybody here, so don't nobody jump up and down and say, well, who is he talking to? I'm not talking to anybody, but if that shoe fits you.
If that shoe fits you.
So you've got to make up your mind. I think that's a rallying call of who will you serve today. Make up your mind who you're going to serve and figure out what God you want to serve. Any rational Christian would simply understand the words of 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 6. To us there is but one God, the Father of whom all things, and we in Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, to whom are all things, and that we are by Him. That's the God that we ought to be serving today, church. That's the God you ought to tell your household to serve. And that's the God that's going to be judging us in the end, church. A promise by God is a promise we can count on. Search the Scriptures to see if God has any broken promises. And I guarantee you won't find any broken promises. But search the promises of man and you'll find countless numbers of broken promises. There are two promises that should impress all Christians. Two promises that should impress Christians. Number one can be found in Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 7, where the Bible says, "Ask and it shall be given." Ask and it shall be given. And y'all don't leave me right now because I got a little time here and my watch don't act right sometimes. So excuse me if I keep on going here now. How do we ask God is the question some Christians may be asking or some folk may ask themselves. How do we ask God for what we need? Well, I don't know what kind of computer God uses. So you can't email Him. I don't know His web address, so you can't email Him. I don't know anything about texting God, so you can't text Him. I don't know about this tweeting and twittering and all that kind of stuff, but I tell you something. I know how you can reach God. Oh, let me tell you how you can reach God. In Luke, the Bible says, I believe it's Luke, the Bible says, men are to always pray. Oh, and that means all the time. You see, always means there's never a time when you shouldn't be praying. It means that when you need God, you can call upon Him through prayer. And I know that God is in the business of answering prayer. I don't believe He would have told us to ask if He was not willing to hear our prayer. Although I know that we can separate ourselves from God through sin. And according to Isaiah chapter 59, He will not hear our prayer if we put ourselves in that position. That should be uplifting, that first one, ask and you shall receive. But the second one, and you all know this one, I bet you know this one. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 19, Christians everywhere are familiar with this one. But my God, that's a personal God. But my God shall supply all of your needs. Now how can you beat that? Now, I may want to sit down and eat on a filet mignon, but if I don't have a filet mignon and God give me a bologna sandwich, guess what? I'll take the bologna sandwich because you know what? When I get through eating on it, I'm going to be just as full as on that filet mignon. And plus, you save a lot of money. Isn't that what it's all about, church? Christians everywhere ought to know that God is able to do what He has told us to do. And when you get personal with God like Paul was in that text, you'll know that my God is big enough to handle all things, but personal enough to handle yours and my needs. So let's face it, church. We all have needs. I don't know anybody in here that doesn't need something this morning. And I don't know anybody in here, if you don't need something this morning, maybe you haven't thought enough about it to figure out what you need. But God can supply all your needs. Number three, we should rely on God. Joshua is now getting on up in his years when he was called. But that doesn't mean that God can't use young folk either. I don't want to leave the young folk out. I don't want them going home saying that he didn't talk about us, he just talked about the old folk. Well, I don't want the young folk to think that God cannot use you. You should consider serving God from the beginning of your life when you're old enough to know God, as well as when you get old. But you see, you learn to rely on Him more when you get older. That's just a fact of life. You know, I tell you all the time how things start to hurt when you get older. When things start to hurt, you learn to pray, don't you, church? You say, my knees ain't no good, but you learn how to get on them when you need to reach God, don't you? Oh, I know that's right. You don't have to say nothing. I know it's right. And when you think about it, the text lets us know that we can rely on God and His presence. In the 9th verse of Joshua chapter 1, look at verse number 9. Have not I commanded thee to be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, be thou not dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever thou goest. Didn't I tell you God will not forsake us? He won't forsake us because He'll be with us wherever we go. But you know what? We got to get with Him, as the kids say. We got to get with Him. And once you get with Him, and then you'll understand what He says when God talks about I am. In Genesis 15 and verse number 1, He said, I am thy shield. And then in Genesis 17 and 1, He said, I am the Almighty God. And then in Exodus 28 and verse number 22, He said, I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. God is everywhere. He's all places and everywhere at the same time. It's good to rely on God, especially in old age. In Isaiah 43 and verse number 11, He said, I am the Lord and there is none other, and besides me there is no Savior. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 6, He said, I am the Lord and I change not. In Matthew 8 and 20, He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in the midst of them. In Acts 7 and 32, He said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So He's your God too, church. How many times does the Lord have to tell you He's with us? How many times does He have to let you know that you must be either for Him or against Him? But I like the way the psalmist wrote it. The psalmist in chapter 37, verse 25 through about verse number 26, he said, I have been young and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lenient, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil, do good, and dwell forevermore. Oh, God is good. Young or old, God is good. It's good to stand for God in our youth, but in old age, it's good to know that God is still there. It's good to know that your young years, that you, if you use them right, you will have a foundation of being on God's side. Unfortunately, it sometimes takes getting older to realize how good life with God really can be. We may be poor and needy, but I want you to notice what the psalmist said in Psalm 40 and verse number 17. He said, I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. No matter how well we serve the Lord, even God's children must come to die one day. And nobody likes to talk about death, even though death is so very real. Nobody likes to talk about it too much. No matter how good we are to God, and no matter how good God is to us, we must come to die. So he went to Joshua, and Joshua knew that in Joshua 24 and 29 that he was about to die, I believe, because he had lived 110 years. Oh, isn't that wonderful, church, to live that long? He lived 110 years old, to be 110, but then he died just like the rest of us. But in verse number 20 of Joshua 24, He taught a lesson to the folk that he was with. He said, if you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, he will turn and do hurt and consume you after he has done you good. So no matter how good God is to you, if you turn away from God, he will consume you and hurt you and turn away from you. God is most certainly a jealous God. When we allow our money, our homes, and our material blessings to become our God, then we have turned away from the real God. One day we may wake up and have nothing. Yes, we all must die, and after death, all that will matter will be how and what did we do for the Lord while we live in this life. But I remember in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5, a promise that Jesus left that he would not forsake us. But then even when we die, just think about it, church. There's some good news on that front too. In Psalms number 116 and verse number 15, precious in the sight of God or in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. If you stay with God, your death will be precious. The time now is to make up your mind of who you're going to serve. Church, as I bring this to a close, make up your mind who you're going to serve. Are you going to serve the Lord or are you going to serve some God that's not in the Bible? And some may say, well, preacher, I did my best to try to stay in the Lord, but things start happening in my life. Well, things happen in all of our life. Some of us are not as blessed as others of us. Isn't that right? Some of us don't understand blessings when we get them. I got a couple more minutes. Some of us don't understand blessings when we get them, and we mistake blessings for luck. Oh, I'm having some good luck right now, we say. Boy, if I get lucky enough to win that number and that number comes in, I'm going to be all right. But I got some news for you. God is not interested in your number. He's interested in your life. What are you doing with your life? He's interested in this right here, the heart. The heart of man is what interests God. And where is your heart? Where is your heart? Because if God will not forsake me, and God will not forsake you, then what's left? I'll tell you what's left. We'll forsake him. If he promised not to leave us nor forsake us, and God is not with us, guess who did the leaving? And I know life gets hard for us sometimes. Life gets awfully hard for us sometimes. And you're not unlike anyone else in this world, or especially any other Christian in this world. When life gets hard, the easiest thing for you to say is, I just give up. I quit. I'm not going to church anymore. Plus, them people down there at the church, they make me sick anyway. I don't like brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so. She thinks she's something. But guess what? You probably think you're something, too. You should. If you don't think you're something, do you think I'm going to think you're something? We have to think that we are God's children, and we must serve God in spirit and in truth. And when one of the members are sick, you're supposed to do this. Reach out for them. But instead of doing that, most of us do this. And we get going. But I tell you something, church, that's not my lesson today, so I'm not going to dwell on that. I'm just going to tell you that if you're not a member of the Lord's church, I'm going to tell you how you become a member of the Lord's church. You become a member of the Lord's body by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. What a day to be baptized. It's nice and warm. Winter is just about over, so don't worry about it. We're not going to get any more snow, so you don't have to worry about catching a cold if you get baptized. Brother Jackson loves to baptize folks. Don't you? All right. Say something over there now. And if you've already been baptized, if you're already a member of the Lord's body, you know we as Christians, we go astray too. From the pulpit to the back door, none of us are exempt. Any of us can go haywire. And when we do, the problem is not so much that we did, but the problem is where do we go from here? Do we stay in our sins and wallow in them? Or do we get up and say, Lord, can you help me get back on the track? I fell off. No race is ever won with somebody on the outside of the track. You've got to stay inside of the track in order to be a winner. And you've got to stay with God in order to be judged and be sent to heaven if you do the right thing. God is going to make the judgment call. But if you're outside of the race, outside of the track, you have no possibility of winning. Isn't that right, church? So if this is your desire, as we together stand and sing.